Great. Mark and Jen? Well, today we're going to do things slightly different. And the wonderful thing about it is if this is your first time here, you won't know it's different. But for you that are here, Mark and Jen, we're going to call them up if they'd like to come up here. That'll be great. Jen is just getting the boys in Sunday school. But this is a really happy, sad time for us. Mark and Jen have been on team with Deborah and I for a number of years now. And Jen, in fact, got saved in this church. And they've been back to South Africa. That we'll tell a little bit of their story. I want them to share some of their story with you because next week will be their last weekend here. And we're praying over them. And they're going to be going and leading Trinity Christian Center, or Trinity Church in Victoria. And so we're very excited about that. And we want to just share a little some of the story, because the fact is, if God could use them, if God could use Deborah and I, can use anybody who's faithful and obedient to Him. And you know, just this transition in... While Jen comes back, I'll just tell you a little bit about it. Ivor Lewis, who leads that amazing church, started speaking to me about... let me get this out of my pocket here. Started speaking to me about a year ago with regards to wanting to transition the church into new leadership. And at the time, in the beginning of that journey, he had said that he had... looking for a number of people. He had about five or six people in mind that he felt he would like to chat to. And in my heart, I thought, I wondered whether that couple couldn't be Mark and Jen. And so over a six-month period, I did the search. And do you want to do the spin? And over the six-month period, I saw Ivor in Denver last August or September. We were at a leadership conference, and I asked him how it was going, and he said he just didn't feel, although they were wonderful people, that it was the right fit for Trinity. And so I went upstairs, spoke to Deborah about it, and I said, listen, I really feel in God that Mark and Jen may be the couple to lead this church. And I went through a process of saying that, the one thing is, I don't know whether we can release them because they're so involved in the church and we work so well together and so on. And my lovely wife reminded me that I was in God and I could not stand in the way of their future. You know, wives have an amazing way of speaking to us, eh? And so the next morning, thought I better do this quickly. I phoned and said, can I have breakfast with you? We're in Denver. Had breakfast with them and... asked them if they'd like to consider Mark and Jen. Their response was amazing. They've known them. The fact that we would open our hands for them. Seems arrogant to think that we could close our hands. But anyway, and he said, are you sure? And I said, Ivor, listen, don't try and convince me not to do this now. And we had a good laugh. I said, but one thing, I know it's a process. You have to go through your leadership and that. But you pray about it. And I want you as a couple to come back to me and be at least 80% sure that this might be the couple, understanding that God may have other things for them. So based on that, they came back to us, and that started the journey. And really, it's not my journey, it's Mark and Jen's. And so I just want to share and ask him to share a little bit about this journey that they've been on. And I'm going to start with Jen. And I'm just going to get, I wrote a few little questions down here. And... just to share, because at the end of the day, one of the things for me that is more than qualified, and not simply the gift and the anointing, but it's the character and the way they've faithfully served others, not only me, but leaders in South Africa, which has qualified them for this. And so I just want to ask Jen to tell a little bit of her story. Coming to Oceanside and a little bit of that journey that she's been on.
Yeah. We go way back.
Yeah, we do.
So thank you all for your ears and just for listening to me. I'm up here. Well, the journey starts probably in, I can take you back to 1999. I was in the Caribbean working for Club Med. And that season ended at the end of 1999. So I found myself back in Nanaimo where I half my life grew up. And at a place where I was really just hungry to know that if what I was living was what life was about. I just had the deep questions in my heart, like, is this what life's about, really? And I grew up in a home where my parents didn't know God. I grew up in a very small town in northern Alberta where, to be quite frank with you, it seems odd, but honestly, I didn't realize the gospel. I didn't know what Jesus actually did for us on the cross. I'd never really heard the gospel. Of course, I heard, you know, Father Abraham had many sons, you know, but I didn't actually hear the gospel. I grew up in a home where my parents didn't believe in God and none of that. So I found myself in Nanaimo just crying out, hey, Creator, God, if someone's out there, let me know, is this what life's about? I was at a pretty deep, desperate place. I wasn't in a good place. And then so as I was crying out, I just felt God say, you need to go to church. So I knew my mind, I jogged my memory, and I knew two people that were going to church or were born again. And one of them, funny enough, was Melissa Hill, one of our musicians that lead us in worship, and another one was Dave. And so I knew Dave was born again, so I called him up and I said, hey, I think I need to go to church. So he knew just what to do. He brought me to Oceanside. That was in 2000, and I got LinkedIn, whatever you want to call it, but I was a really wounded, hurt person. I was out there doing my thing and doing what I knew life was, and life was one big party, put it that way. And so I came in and I was pretty messed up, but God really arrested my heart. And he arrested my heart in a community. And it's amazing how he does that, how he has his way, but he arrested my heart. And soon after that, I decided I needed to get baptized because I heard people talking about getting baptized. So I got baptized that following March. It was 2000 in Long Lake in March. That's next month, dipping into the lake with Alan Henderson in the back row there. We got baptized in March in Long Lake. And it's amazing after I got baptized what actually happened in the season in my life. Once the devil knows some action in the realm, the spiritual realm's happening, the devil knows exactly how to reel you in to what he has for you. So I was baptized, I was saved, but he threw out his rod and reeled me back in. And it was amazing. In that time, I was sitting on the fence. It was like I had this group of friends and I was just partying and doing a lot of drugs and stuff, and I just found myself not able to do both. It was like I was trying to love God and trying to love these people, but I was still wanting to party. I was wanting to really just, you know, I was trying not to party, and I kind of felt guilty because I knew God had touched my life, but I was caught in between. I don't know if it's hard to describe, but what is so incredible, and that I want to encourage every one of you guys, is that God doesn't just work here when we're gathered in this building here. He works everywhere. And during that time where I was finding myself partying once again and dating the wrong guy and wherever I was, God did amazing stuff in my life. And he actually delivered me from a few things that I was addicted to. And that delivery, I feel like there's three specific things that he delivered me from, and it happened over a series of a couple months, and it was amazing. I can look back and go, I've never done what, like, the few things I've never looked back, and he was so good, and he specifically spoke to my heart and just said, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I have great, amazing things for you, and just spoke deep into my heart. So there, Deborah actually ended up calling me, the amazing lady she is. Just after 8 or 9 months, I was in a place, and she called me up and said, hey, just wanted to see how you're doing, what you're up to, how you doing, and just loved on me on the phone. It was really a testimony, and I decided then, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go and just give this my all, as in give God my all, really try hard to just see what he has for me. So I went back into Oceanside Community. It was in 2001, and I gave him my all. I really really got healed. You know, our vision statement, a gathering, healing, training, sending church. I wept. I had snot and dripping from my nose at times on the floor. Just God did a great healing in my heart from a lot of things. And I'm so grateful. And he did that within community. And it's amazing because we're all so unperfect. You know, we all make mistakes. We're all just made up of skin and we make mistakes. But he did that to me in a community. And it speaks to me so much of how we need to be in a community. We really do. We're not meant to be wandering off on our own in this journey of Christianity. He's called us to be a part of a body, wherever that is. And yeah, he did such amazing work in me. And then he specifically said, and I felt, you know, we had a lot of people coming from Africa and speaking about what God was doing in the continent, on the continent of Africa, particularly the southern part of Africa. And that stirred my heart so much because God is a God of nations and of people. And he's made every race so unique and so beautifully. And I had such a desire to go to Africa. So there I planned 2 years. I was in Africa. And that's when I met my husband. So that takes me a journey of a little bit of my first bit of Christianity and how I met the Lord and then how I went to Africa and met Mark.
Wonderful. That's awesome, Jen. How do you beat that, eh?
It's not a competition.
No, it's not. It's just, I just didn't want Jen to stop talking. It was just amazing. But yeah, this is where Mark comes in. Mark sneaks in the door. Jen goes to Africa. She had come to see me and said she wanted to go. And being the adventurous girl that Jen had always been, I was trying to very seriously put some boundaries on where she went. She was going to Mozambique and so on.
All the best with that.
Yeah, didn't work at all. But so I found my friend Ashley Bell as a church, Bryanston New Covenant in Johannesburg. And I said, Ash, this young girl's flying in. She's one of our grace trophies for sure. She's an amazing young girl, but can you make sure that she's well looked after while she's in South Africa? And he said, yeah, no problem. Obviously, he'd do that, but he made one big mistake. He said, I will assign Mark to look after her. So this is a crazy thing. I remember sitting down with Jen. Jen doesn't remember this, but it's true. I said, Jen, you're going to South Africa on a mission trip. You're going to Mozambique. And I said, I know there's a lot of you, pretty girl, a lot of South African guys there, and they're going to want to get to date you and get to know you. And I said, don't do that, because stay focused on mission. That's why you're there. Well, about a week later, I said, and please let me know what's going on. And so about a week later, I get an email, and it says, I think I'm in love. So I just beat capital letters, what, back, and I phoned Ashley. She told me the guy's name, and I said, who is this guy? 1 week, what's going on here? Fortunately, Ashley laughed about it, and he told me that he had asked Mark to chaperone her or whatever, and that he was a great guy. So that settled me. So over to this.
Gee, I want to meet this guy.
Yeah. Mark, we have a new name for him. It's Mark Who.
From Whoville,
yeah.
Gee, I'm sitting here listening to Jen talk, and I just think, wow, Lord, really? How did I score a beautiful babe like this? I'm amazed at his grace in my life.
Are you looking at me?
And not you.
I was getting nervous there.
Somebody switch this microphone off here. You know, just as we started praying for Lucas a little earlier, I was just overwhelmed with a sense of what a gift life is. An incredible gift God has given us. And you know, the thing about this gift is that he actually gives us an amazing roadmap. That is where he says that he knows the plans he has for us, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, and to give us hope for the future. And I think so often we try and do it our own way, And we really just come unstuck, and the best possible road we could ever walk that is going to be the most joy-filled and the most incredible is His way. And this scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 5 and 6, says it is impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. And I think as I reflect back on our journey and just when I met Jen, I was in a place in life where, honestly, I was on such a mission and the last thing that I was interested in was the distraction of a beautiful woman. And my goodness, it just came right across my path. Jen arrived in the middle of that moment and absolutely distracted me. And it was one of the best distractions I've ever had in my life, I've got to tell you. Probably the best. And so in the midst of that moment, you start to see the threads of God and you start to see some of the connections. And I started to hear a little bit about Mike and Deborah and realizing I used to ride my bicycle past their front door on my way to junior school. And you know, I was saying that if I didn't know that at the time, I probably would have thrown a rock through his window. But the reality is, as you start to see these threads of God, it brings such courage and confirmation of, you know, when you're driving down a road and you see a sign that says Parksville 20, there's a sense of, okay, I'm on the right road here. And sometimes those signs and wonders that we have in our lives and these God moments of confirmation are so significant in helping us know and understand. And God is so good that way. He's our Father. Yeah. He's not about to throw us red herrings to test us, to see how good we can do. He honestly is for us and not against us. And so Jen and I meet in the midst of that moment, and so starts this incredible journey of us getting to know one another and at the same time just starting to see the synergy. And I want to encourage you young people and old people alike, if you are on a journey, hey, this is my turn. If you're on a journey of, God, what is, you know, is this the right person for me, or is there a right person for me? You know, He is so committed to us that He gives us confirmation along the way. And here I'm sitting 2 weeks into this journey of this girl that's arrived from a place called Vancouver Island that I never knew existed before I met her. And I'm going, what is this? I'm giving my head a shake. I'm this kind of got a plan together, engineering mind kind of guy, and this is not in the plan. Any of you have ever read the Scaredy Squirrel books of the kids? All the parents will know what I'm talking about. I was Scaredy Squirrel right there going, this is not part of the plan. And yet where God gives these confirmations along the way. And so I arrive in Canada for my first meeting of her parents, and I've got to tell you, this eldership team and Mike right at the front of the list there keeps me on my toes for the first 4 days. I never had an opportunity to meet her family for days because they were all checking me out. Lunch appointment after breakfast appointment after dinner appointment, and question after question after question fired at me, and I'm just sitting there feeling the pressure of these spotlights. But if you know me and my tenacity, I'm saying, forget that. She's obviously well worth fighting for. And as I started to hear a little bit more of the description of this girl, I'm saying, yes, I'm in. And so, you know, the incredible joy of the journey in the midst of all of that and exploring the call of God in our lives and discovering some of the synergies and the words that God had spoken over the both of us and realizing, oh my goodness, not only are our dreams crazy that need a serious amount of faith and courage, but they're actually pretty similar here. God, what are you up to? What are you on about?
That's awesome. That's great. I keep on telling Mark that from 2 weeks' time he can have the microphone as long as he wants, but here I have the microphone first. So, and yeah, just amazing. I had the privilege of Mark coming back here. Very romantic guy. Embarrassed me big time the way he proposed to Jen on the beach in New York, waiting for a low tide. Will you marry me? The whole thing. They're actually making a movie about it one day. And but and they married them and moved back. Jen moved back to South Africa, and shortly after that, they went full time. Mark was in engineering, and God called them, and Ashley asked them to come on team. And they're there for about 3.5 years. And I didn't know whether they'd come back or not, but a friend of mine there was an eldership there. Amazing about good relationships. These churches and the guys that I have the privilege of working with, some of them for 25, 30 years in ministry, if they say, this is a good guy and you can trust him, isn't it wonderful that you can do that? You don't have, just on their word. I got a call from, a chat from guys from Bryanston saying, Mark and Jen are feeling to come back to Canada and plant a church, and they felt it might be good for them to come to Oceanside just to learn a bit about culturally how to do it and learn from some of the things Deborah and I had done well and some of the bad things too. And so we invited them here and they came on our team, and that was, what year was that? That was 6 years ago. We thought maybe a year. And just threw themselves at supporting us. And through that time, many of you know, maybe you don't, my wife was critically, critically ill. And she had contracted a parasite on a mission trip to Asia, and which destroyed her liver. And over that time, she had had 2 liver transplants. And so much of the weight of the church was put on this young couple's shoulders, and I can't tell you how they rose to the occasion and loved us and served us with the rest of this church praying in this community. That's another story. But to say this is that after about 4 years, I felt Mark was getting a bit, you know, when a son grows up, they want to go and find their own space. And I felt that with Mark and Jen. And a few number of opportunities had come up within New Covenant where they were looking for pastors. I knew Mark would have heard of them, but I never ever put Mark's name forward. And the reason for that is, in my heart, I just didn't feel it was the right thing for them. And then Mark started speaking to me about the fact that they would like to go and plant a church about 2 years ago. And I just said to him, Mark, I just feel in my heart it's not the right time for you. And it's very difficult because it's not because I wanted to hold on to them either. I really do see myself in this church as the father. And you know that the difference between a father and a leader often is that a father wants his children to go further than them. And I always had a dream for this couple. I knew what was in them and I knew what they were capable of in God. So they explored that, and I thought maybe even 2 years ago that they may be on their way. And Mike Hanchett was here. He's a prophetic ministry that comes here. Didn't know any of the situation. Was driving in the car with Mark. Turns to Mark. He says, you thinking of leaving or going somewhere else? And he just said, don't do that. And that was it. And Mark told me afterwards, his eyes were like this. But anyway, I understood that frustration. And so when this opportunity, you see, we often settle for better at the expense of the best. Any of those would have been better than working with me. But there was a best that God had for them. And it's these divine delays. And if I can encourage you that who have ministry in your heart, just for those timings, I was called in 93 to come to Canada. I felt in my heart to plant a church, and I was released in 1997. And there were those 4 or 5 years were difficult years when you knew that I wouldn't go without their blessing, but at the same time, every year I thought, would it be this year? And so this came up, and I can just see this is a church that is 45 years old. It's huge credibility, and I feel that that church with this couple is going to just go through the stratosphere, and in fact, we all will come in their wake and be pulled along by them in many ways. And isn't that what we want for our children? Isn't that what we want for them? And so I want to thank you guys. Not only are they gifted and anointed, but they have been faithful to the T. I'm telling you, Mark is, I'd say, in ministry for sure, is more than likely my closest friend. We share a lot. We fought a lot. We've carried a lot of weight. But to be able to release this couple, it's overwhelming that God would allow this. To see Jen saved in this church, to see her faithfully walk out, not always easily, but to see her walk that out, marry a guy, be faithful through that, and now to lead a church in Victoria on their own. I mean, I couldn't have scripted this. And I tell you, for me as a pastor and the leader of this church, this is what makes it worthwhile, to see you and young people, to see you fulfill your dreams and your destinies. And I promise you, any boundaries that we put on you are normally for your good. I know this road. I was 24 when I got saved, and I thought I knew everything, and I could save the world. And God took me on a journey with some good leadership. So I want to thank you for that, and we're going to pray for them next week. But what I do want to do is just let Jen have the final say.
That's funny. Wow. 6 years it took me. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. That's it.
I'm going to miss this community. I truly love this city and this community. I didn't want to come back to Nanaimo. I felt like, in a way, in the carnal thinking, oh, I'm going backwards. I've come from Nanaimo. I don't want to come back here. But I have grown to a place, and I said that once before to you all, that I've grown to really love Nanaimo. So I'm going to miss this community, and we're just a little south. That's it. I want to share a scripture, and this has been something that has really challenged me lately. I want to say one of the biggest things in ministry, and for us all that we can really think about, is that actually, for me, this is my journey, and maybe you can identify, is one of the things I'm learning is really just to be myself and to really be who God's called me to be, because that is the best. That works out best for me because I feel most comfortable in my skin. And it works out for God because He loves me and He's designed me the way I am. And this beautiful scripture, and you'll see how it ties in. It says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And I truly believe that. I don't serve because I want to look good or I'm trying to achieve something on my belt. Well, yeah, that's another, but I'm talking here now. I don't work for that. I work honestly for the Lord. I serve God. And I want to encourage you that there really is no sacred or secular. We are honestly all serving the Lord. Wherever you are at, whatever you are doing, you are serving God. And God has placed you and placed me where He has me. And that is the best. And He has mission for you to do. And He has enjoyment for you. And He has pleasure over you. And, you know, for me, thinking back, the core of my heart when I first got to know Jesus and how much He loved me and the kingdom of God and all that awesomeness is that the core of my heart was, wow, God, you have done so much inside of me. You have set me free. You have drawn me out of darkness and into your kingdom of light. That, to me, equated church planning for some reason, but it doesn't for everyone. That might equate for you in the medical field, or that might equate right now as a be-at-home full-time mom or school right now. But God can work through all of us, every single one of us, wherever we are at. And that's what He wants to do. He wants to just rock our worlds and bring us to a place of just complete abandonment to Him, with Him. And that just overflows into people's lives. So we're excited for the journey we're on, and we're just thankful for you and for this community that you've walked with us, that you've seen. Some of you have seen us grow, maybe only know us in the last couple months. Some of you only know us for maybe a couple days, and some of you know us for 10 years, 15 years. And I just want to say it's a real privilege to be in this city, to be in this community, and to walk that walk with you. And I want to say, no matter where you're at, no matter who you are, I want you to know that actually, doesn't matter where you come from or where you've gone, where you've been, that God adores you, that He adores you more than anything. And He just wants to talk to you. He wants to be with you. And he wants to just have that relationship with you, that love relationship. So, yeah, thanks for your ears, and we're excited for the future.
Great. Wonderful. So, next Saturday night, 6 to 8, it's just a banquet chair. You saw that up there. Just bring your favorite dish, and we're just going to have some time celebrating this and sending them on their way. And if the worship team could please come forward, that'll be wonderful. And next week, we'll pray for them. And I'm going to have my wonderful wife say a few words to them next week. I think that our feeling in God, I want to have been at 6:30 on Wednesday mornings, meet with the men. And it's been a wonderful time. And one of the questions we've been looking at is, how do we run this race with perseverance, the race set out for us, and how do we finish well? And I think looking at them and the race they've run so far, not that they finished, I think next week I want to pick up on that and speak about that in all of our lives. You know, Psalm 23 is a roadmap of life. We go through pastoral waters, green pastures, but we also go through the valley of the shadow of death. We go through times of hardship and so on, but God is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And, you know, often people lose their way, and like Jen for that year, and I thank God that Deborah phoned her and drew her back through that call. We didn't even know that it happened. I'm sure Deborah didn't know at the time. But the thing is, you can lose your way, and then you can think, well, what's the point? You know, I've blown it. Well, if you get up again and you start walking with God again, you've never, ever blown it. You can never blow it in God. He's there calling all of us to walk into our inheritance. And so for some of you that have been in that situation, I feel God is calling you to your call and your destiny. And the amazing thing, and I won't embarrass him, but the Dave that Jen called, I haven't seen him for a number of years. He lives in Vancouver. Randomly arrived at the service today and is sitting here. And we couldn't have even planned that, eh? It's just amazing. And amazing call upon your life, David. And you and I know that. And you're an awesome guy. And I think God's got you here for more than you think. And so thank you for that. And but the other ones is, in this journey, we all get to the stage. Deborah got saved 2 years before me, and one of the things that irritated me most about it, I had every question why not to be a Christian. What irritated me is that inner joy and peace that she had that I didn't know. And when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, also history that I wasn't proud of, but God saved me and set me free, and God wants to do that today. You see, one of the things we can argue with in our heads, we can argue theology, we can argue doctrine, we can even argue whether Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, but what we can never argue with is a transformed life by the power of the Spirit of God. And so my buddies would say, wow. I say, listen, I'm just not like that. I don't know why I wasn't perfect, but God got hold of my heart. And that is the biggest test me that you and I have. Is the testimony of what God is doing in and through us. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you. God's not looking for just a decision. God is looking for you to consider Him, that His love, that you are not here by accident, that He's pursued you His whole life, and He will never, ever give up doing that because He loves you. You know, the Bible says this. People ask me, God, does God love me or doesn't God love me? And Christians live this schizophrenic life. He loves me when I'm good, He doesn't. And it's like he loves me not. The problem is, if you run out of petals on He loves me not, you're in trouble. But Romans 5 says this, that God demonstrates His love for you, that whilst you were an enemy of the cross, whilst you were still a sinner, He sent His Son to die for you. having no guarantee that you would respond to that love. He loved me before when I was cursing him, when I was doing all this stuff. He loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me. And he's done it for you. And you can try and work this out in your head. But I tell you, it's something when God grips your heart, you're transformed, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And it's hard to explain because it's caught, it's not taught. And I'm saying today, some of you here, and I don't know you and I don't know, but God is calling you. God's hand is upon your life, and God has a path for you like Mark and Jen to go and count for the kingdom. Because I tell you, young people, this nation needs radical warriors, radical men and women that will stand for the gospel. You are the future of this nation. And so if you'd like to come up while we worship and we can pray for you, we'd love to do that. If you have a friend near you who knows God and you can reach out to them, you're welcome to do that too. But I want to tell you that you are not here by accident. God called you here because he loves you. No other reason. We hear that God came to save us from our sin. That is the beginning. God came to save us from our sin, to restore relationship with him. He's a relational God, and he loves you. If we worship God, and Lord, if you could just stand for a moment, please, if you want to chat to me anytime, give us a call, Deborah and I, and work this through. Please, find the office. We'd love to speak to you and tell you some of our journey. So if you'd like to stand, I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your anointing. I can't save anybody. I couldn't even save myself, but you could. And I pray today that the ones that have lost their way, and I lost it often on my journey, the ones that took the wrong road for a while, Lord, you are calling them back. And I pray that they will not walk in condemnation today. I pray that they'll be free and they'll run into their Father's arms who's waiting to hug them and welcome them home. And Lord, I pray for the ones that are on a journey of seeking you, Lord. I know it's a journey, but you say, if you seek me, you will find me. And I pray, Lord God, whether this is the time that they make that decision or whether it's part of that journey, Lord, our Holy Spirit, I ask you that you will open their hearts and their eyes to see and just reveal your love to them. Reveal to them how much you love them, regardless of who they are or what they've done. Lord, I pray that, Lord. I pray that in the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, we choose to worship you. And church, I know the time's right. Please, if you could open the back doors, there burns, and if you need to go. But also, if you'd like to break bread, we do this in remembrance of what God has done for us. You're welcome to stay. We will worship God. If you need prayer, but please, if you don't want to come forward, Deborah and I would find it a privilege. If you phoned the office and said, I want to know more about this journey, we would love to chat to you about it, and so will some of our leaders. Amen. Let's worship God.